This is First Baptist Church for Sunday, December 7th, 2025.
Here I am. It's been a while. I tend to get nervous when I come up here. I like to start off by thank you for allowing me to stand before you and bring the word. It's been challenging lately, as we all know, with a lot of the events, and including events in my own life, major life changes. But this is, I can say, my calling, so I appreciate the opportunity. Father God, we do ask for your presence. We do ask for the Holy Spirit's direction. And Lord, that the word would go forth as it always does to accomplish all you send it out for. Use me as your conduit, but allow your word to permeate this message. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been studying the book of John in the Wednesday Bible study. And Steve and Larry, Eva, Brad will know some of this already, but I figured it's significant enough that I would like to bring the message to those who haven't heard it as well. So in the book of John, one of the key elements is the identity of Christ. And there are these seven I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. And I am the true vine. So look at each of these a little bit first. So the way. Originally, this was the name of the what they considered the cult of Christianity. But it was because Jesus is the way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through him. And in this scripture, John 14, 1 to 14, I'm going to just read a bit. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. It's interesting, isn't it, that he just told him, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he turns around and asks, show us the Father. How many times are the questions and answers between Jesus and those around him like this, that a question is asked, and Jesus seemingly gives an answer that has nothing to do with the question, but it's exactly what they need to hear. And at other times, Jesus will make a statement and receive a question about what he's just talked about. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He's repeating it, right? How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. And this is introducing the second most important fact in John is that if it's belief in Jesus that is the way. When Jesus says, I am the way, he is saying, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, this is going to be repeated over and over again, the idea that it is belief in him. So believing in Jesus is part of knowing him, and that these greater things that we will accomplish will be because of him in us. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And just as he says these things, he also prays that we would have Jesus in us and that we will be in him. This is the promise. He's going to prepare a place for us that we will be with him. In Psalm 37:4, it says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the ways of your heart, the desires of your heart. So the way to Jesus, the reason Jesus is the way is that he provides this. When we say delight in the Lord and he will give us the desires of your heart, it's important to notice that this is the two-step process. Delighting in the Lord means seeking him. Delighting in the Lord means seeking his purpose for our lives. When we are looking to him for the will and the way, he will give us the desires of our heart because he knows better than we do what's going to give us the desires of our heart. So, John 3:16-21, the truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. There it is again. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Whoever does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for their deeds will be exposed, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Looking more closely at these words, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There's no middle ground. We cannot hold back. We cannot fail to make the decision if we're going to believe in him or not. Why do we say this? Because whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is from the fall, the original sin that we all have. It's an idea that we can't be okay without him. He leads us to the truth. So this passage, the verdict about light coming into the world and that whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, that was my signature passage at ordination. This is something that I've had near and dear to my heart, that when we do believe in him and when we do seek his will for our lives, it brings us into the light so that people may see him in us and that we are in him. The way is tied to the truth. John 8:21-30. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. Once again, the critical point that it's belief in Jesus that leads us to salvation. You will indeed die in your sins. The Jews said, who are you? Jesus, just that I have been telling you from the beginning, I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him I will tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. So this is the opportunity that those that were around Jesus had to believe in him because of the words he spoke. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The way is the truth. That the truth is that this is the only way. They tie together. I seem to be missing something. In the way, the truth, and the life, there are three statements about life. The bread of life. Now, in the scripture, after he fed the 5,000, he went across, walked on the water, and when he joined them on the boat, they arrived on the other side. And that when they noticed that he wasn't with them any longer, he went to be somewhere else, that they got in the boats and they followed him. So, the people that followed him, what were they looking for? Were they looking for Jesus? Were they looking for his offer of life? Or were they they had been fed and they wanted to have more food? Like the woman at the well in chapter 4, who was thinking of the water in the well, and she's saying, he says, I will bring you water that will well up within you to eternal life. She said, well, give me some of this water so I won't get thirsty and have to come to the well again. And she was looking at the physical and not the spiritual. So the people looking for the food were thinking of their physical needs, not what Jesus was offering. And the woman at the well, who he offered water that would well up within her to eternal life, she was looking for a physical need when he was offering the spiritual necessity. When Lazarus, the resurrection and the life. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. The way, the resurrection. The way to the resurrection. The truth of who he is and what he offers. All this ties together in his identity. When he says these things that I am the way and the truth and the life, it's spelled out to us that it is belief in him that leads us to the resurrection. And John 3, 1-8. Back to John 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born. Once again, looking at the physical instead of the spiritual, he was speaking of being born, as he continues to say, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases, you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. As he describes this idea of the wind blowing and not knowing where it comes from or goes, he's referring back to himself again of being the way to life, and that that is the truth. When we say born of the Spirit, we know that it means receiving him, receiving the Spirit, and that it requires belief in him to accomplish that. I use this longer scripture from Joel 2 to make an important point. This is sections from Joel 2. An army of locusts, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number, and mighty is the army that obeys him. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? This was the warning. This is like when Eve and Adam in the garden were warned not to eat of the tree. It's the first step. It led to being banished from the garden because they did what they were warned against doing. Now, in Joel 2, this section, rend your heart. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his chamber and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn. By byword and among the nations, why should they say to them among the peoples, where is their God? This, though the punishment has come, is a calling back. These are parallels. The thing about the Bible, its message is true. It continues to deliver over and over and over again. So as we look at these, the warning, the punishment, and a calling back, continuing. The Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. The great locust and the young locust, the other locust and the locust swarm. My great army that I sent among you, you will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. He makes a promise. There was the warning. There was the fall. There was the punishment. There was the drawing back. And now the Lord is saying, what has to happen? It's a promise. This parallels Jesus, the day of the Lord. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. It's a prediction, if you will. It is a type and shadow, as it says, of what is to come. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This was also echoed in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. It's a prediction of what was going to come. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. The promise fulfilled. When we look at the life of Jesus, when we look at the big picture, that's exactly what happens. We may have been from the garden expelled because of failing to heed the warning and doing what was told not to do. But then the punishment leads to a drawing back. The Lord punishes, but he also saves. He teaches us through this experience. And we get to learn from all these, it's many, many stories that repeat the same thing. That he gives us the warning when we obviously are unable to be perfect. We fail. He calls us back. He gives us the way to come back. And that's predicting Jesus, who is the way. That this then leads to a promise. Jesus was promised to us. He is the only figure who satisfied and fulfilled all the prophecy and law. By his life and all the things that he did, by the sacrifice on the cross and the suffering, and by his resurrection. When he says, I am the resurrection, he is the only one who was able to lay down his life and pick it up again. He brought others back to life, but that was reviving. Others may have shown up. If you read in Matthew, when he died on the cross, many of the righteous people came out of their tombs and were seen walking around because the work had been done. He is the resurrection and the life. So he is the promise fulfilled. We may have made errors. We may have not heeded the warning. We may have been punished. But he draws us back and he promises us, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. To me, this is a beautiful promise that no matter what we suffer, no matter what we lose, no matter what we endure in this life, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, is the way back to the Father and to eternal life with him. I go and prepare a place for you. If it was not true, what I have said, and where I go, you will come, I will return and bring you to be with me. The promise that we will be reunited with God, fulfilled by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But this is the story. And we know it, hopefully, that we have this opportunity. We share it all the time. But we have a commandment. It's not just for us alone. This message needs to be heard by all. It is not God's will that all should die, but that they should all come to eternal life through Jesus. How will they know if they're not told? How will they accept if they don't realize what the offer is? So the story is real. It's repeated many times. We understand it, but we need to share it, that those who come into contact with us will learn what it takes to discover the way, to learn the truth, and to have the life. Father God, I look to you as always. You laid this message on my heart. It's a message that repeats many times. And that we are so grateful for what you have done for us and what we have been able to receive. That though we were condemned, through you, there is no condemnation. That your love, your mercy, your sacrifice, the grace of Jesus on the cross, resurrected, ascended, and going to come again, we look forward to your return, Lord. Let us share that message with all we come in contact with, that they too may know the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.